each and every one of you that are here for our worship service. And I'll tell you this, that God is good. But I actually was telling the group, I don't know, is God good or is he great? Or is he awesome? Is he wonderful? Is he marvelous, right? Whatever adjective you want to fill in there, God is that. But I want to share that it is good for us to be here, to worship in spirit and in truth. Derek's spot on. He invited me up, said, hey, which, I said, I can come up either. And you know what? It's not necessarily the money, right? God is good for that, and we thank God for that. But really, I got to be honest with you. So I am the co-minister, one of the leading ministers of the Corona Church of Christ. Before accepting that role, I was the associate minister of the La Puente Church of Christ. But I'm going to be honest with you. It all started here in Tehachapi. And I forgot if it was Betty or Derek reached out to me and said, hey, we need someone to sit in for our minister who's going to be on vacation. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And here we are, what is that, 14 years later, right? A minister of God's kingdom, for God's kingdom. But it all started here. And I'll tell you how it really sprungboard itself. My dad came up with me, said, hey, Johnny, I'll ride up with you. And dad rode up with me, and he brought one of the other brothers up. And Brother Jose Yarbrough, one of our, he's an elder now. He brought Brother Jose up, and they said, hey, Johnny, good job. We went to the next leadership meeting at the La Puente congregation, and Brother Jose said, brothers, we need to do something with Johnny. That brother's up there preaching, and we need to groom him and bring him along. And so they made me an associate minister, and then from there, able to become a full-time minister for the Corona Church of Christ. So my roots are here. I want to thank you all for that. And so anytime given an invitation, we'll do whatever we can to come and be a part of our study here. Thanks for those who were in Bible study. It was great to see you. Great to have some great discussion. I will pause for a 20-second commercial. For those that weren't part of our Bible study this morning, every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., come be a part of it. We'll be here next week as well. To study God's word. And it's not just a, hey, come to Bible study so you can check the box. It is a, come to Bible study because we learn more. Come to Bible study because we can discuss more. Come to Bible study so you can hear other thoughts. Come to Bible study so we can hear your thoughts, right? It's encouraging when you walk in and you see your sisters or your brothers that are there. And so that is my commercial for this morning. I may have one or two more as we go throughout our time this morning. I always want to thank my wife, Denisha, for being with me. She is my ride or die. She is right there in the passenger seat with me and as we drive up. But this morning, she drove from Bakersfield. She said, you want me to drive? I'm like, Derek, is this a trick question? I don't know. But I let her drive. We got here safely. So we thank. She's actually, to be honest, she's a better driver than I, according to our insurance. So one last thing, if you happen to see me put these on as I get older, there's this thing called glasses. I haven't needed them for years. But over the last year, it seems like the print's getting smaller. So I don't know who we need to talk to about that, but you may see me put them on or not. So that's changed for me. I want to share with us this morning from the topic, small but mighty. Small but mighty. So there was a village, and it was a very small village, and there was a tiny lamp that shined at the end of the road, and that lamp shined brightly. Though small, its light was seen by many, and it guided the travelers and guided the townspeople safely home. And brothers and sisters, just like that lamp, even a small church such as this can shine brightly in its community, guiding and inspiring others with God's love. Amen. first thought I want to share with us this morning is this, that you are mighty in God. You are mighty in God. It's easy for us to sometimes look at the numbers and say, hey, we're a smaller group and we're not as large as these other churches that we see out here. And we may sometimes feel like we're discouraged, right? But God's measure of might is not on numbers. Remember what God said through his prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Not by might, not by numbers, but it's because of God's spirit, right? And if we are going to be the church that God wants us to be that shining light in the community, we need to make sure that we anchor ourselves on God's spirit. And then the psalmist writes in Psalms chapter 147, verse number 5, he says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Brothers and sisters, great is our Lord and mighty is his power. So check this out. If God is great and God is mighty and we are his children, what does that make us? Huh? Right? Your children, when they are born in your family, they carry your name. So whatever you are, they are. Are you okay with that? So if God is mighty and God is powerful, what does that make us? Remember, brothers and sisters, the scriptures say that we are heirs to God. When you're an heir to something, that means that you are part of it. Brothers and sisters, never forget how mighty and how powerful we are because of who God is. God delights in using the world, in using what the world seems to be so small to accomplish great things. Think of David and Goliath. We like to run to that story, right? How big Goliath was and how small David was. Not only how big Goliath was, but if you remember, he had weapons of war, right? He had shield. And what did David have? Just a couple smooth rocks. Is that right? And so let's not forget about that. Or let's not forget about how Jesus was able to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed thousands. Boy, you give me 2 pieces of fish, I'm looking for the third, right? But Jesus was able to take something so small, but yet do something so great. And then I'm reminded in Judges chapter 6 and 7, where we find where Gideon is going up against the Midianites. And if you remember, Gideon first was saying, Lord, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And God had to prove to him that I am your God and you can do it. And so then he said, well, I don't have the people that I need. And so Gideon, in his own wisdom, goes out and gathers 32,000 soldiers. And they're ready to fight and they're ready to go. But if you remember the story, God says, well, you have too many. You have too many. He said, those who are fearful, go home. And I'm going to be honest with you. If Gideon would have said that to me, I'd have been like, I'll see y'all later. I'm leaving, right? But he said, you have too many. So then God said, I want you to go take those who didn't go home and go get some water out of the lake or the creek there. And he said, those who lapped the water with their head down like a dog, right? There were some that they were looking like this. He said, I want you to keep those. He took that number from 32,000 down to 300, right? And if you remember the story, Gideon was victorious. Gideon and his soldiers were victorious over the vast armies of the Midianites. And from there, we see that God's power was shown. Because, you know, if he'd had 32,000 folks, look at my great army and how great we did. But God had to show that it was because of him. So, brothers and sisters, although this congregation may not be thousands, know that you are powerful because of God. Brothers and sisters, this morning I want to tell us, trust in God's guidance. Trust in God's guidance. When challenges seem overwhelming, trust in God's leading. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6 is a very familiar scripture text. It says this, trust in the Lord. I just want to pause right there and think about that for a second. Trust in the Lord. Oh, you go to work, you trust in your employer to pay you. We go out to our cars and we trust that when we turn the key or push the button, it's going to start. We trust that my friends said they're going to be here at 9, and then you know they never show up at 9. We trust in so many things, but this morning I want to say to us as children of God, we need to trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge or submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Oh, you want to talk that about the greatest guidance system. You know, when I drive anywhere, I put my address where I'm going in the Waze. And Waze will help guide me to where I'm going. Some folks use Google Maps or Apple Maps. But this right here is the scripture that gives us the greatest guidance. It says that God will make our paths straight. You ever been on a windy mountain road, one lane up and one lane down, and you're like, oh, Lord, over to the side is doom and death. But I want to tell you this, that because of God, he's going to make your path straight, but we have to trust in him. Got to trust and submit our ways to him. And then Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31 says this, but those who wait or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run. They won't get weary. They will walk, but they won't faint. Brothers and sisters in Tehachapi, we need to be beacons of light in the community. We need to be beacons of light in the community. And I'm going to say something here. You probably don't want me back next week. But I don't care what the social narrative says in America. If there's ever a time that there needs to be a light in this world, now is the time. I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. It has nothing to do with this. It is we as children of God, Christians, which means to be Christ-like, right? If there's ever a time that we are to be beacons of light, now is the time. Now is the time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, it says that you are the light of the world. It didn't say that the Chamber of Commerce needs to be the light of the world. It didn't say the Democratic or the Republican or the Independent Party is the light of the world. It says you, who is that? Children of God, Christians, are the light of the world. It says that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You ever drive down a road and you look, well, man, that is a great house up there. You know what? You can't hide the house. Why is that? Because it's sitting up high and it can be seen. That's us. That's us. But sometimes we want to cower to some of the pressures that are going on in society. It doesn't say to cower, it says to be the light, to be seen. Now, does that mean you need to walk around with a t-shirt that says Church of Christ and then Romans 16, 16 on the back? No. If you want to, that's fine. Right? But it doesn't mean that. It means by your conversation, your manner of life that you live. Brothers and sisters, we are to be the light of the world. Be a light of the community. Paul also echoes this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. Says this, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and a crooked generation. Even the Bible says it, right? It says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Oh, a dark, beautiful night. You look up, you can see the stars shining. Is that right? Maybe when it's hazy or it's foggy, you can't see it. But when it's clear, you can see those stars shining. That's to be like us. Your presence and prayers and acts of service are a light that can't be hidden. Even when you feel small, your light reaches farther than you know. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to keep spreading the word of God. Jesus commanded this in Mark chapter 16, 15. He said unto them, go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all creatures. If the world is to know the gospel, if the world is to know the truth, it comes through us. Don't be ashamed to share the word of God. Well, Brother Johnny, I don't know everything. I don't either, right? Share what you know, and then bring them to somebody that does know, right? You remember when you're new on the job? You didn't know everything about the job up front, did you? No, you had to have a supervisor or a training officer or somebody with you to train you. And when you got into a situation like, uh-oh, right, you go get some help. Well, guess what? Maybe you can't share everything, but share what you know. Maybe you can share this, that God is good. I was living in sin, and now I'm no longer living in sin and have an opportunity to make heaven my home. Maybe that's it. Sit down and be quiet and get somebody to help. It's okay. It's all right, but that does not mean that we cower away from sharing God's word. And then Paul also says it like this in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What's the gospel? The good news, right? So how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel? Guess what? Maybe you didn't get your pedicure, but your feet are still beautiful. Is that okay? Every conversation, every act of kindness, every invitation is a seed planted for God's kingdom. I want to share this with us this morning. Tehachapi, we need to encourage one another and stay united. Encourage one another, stay united. I'm going to share this. Right before I came up, I got a text message. I'm like, who's texting me during church time? They know I'm in church. But it was actually one of our elders. He said, hey, Johnny, I know you guys are out, but I miss you. I have encouraged the congregation. Look around. And if you don't see somebody that you normally see, or if you're missing somebody, send them a message. I want to share that with you this morning. Look around. Someone's not here. Now, you know, maybe some are on vacation. We get that, right? But if you know that they're not on vacation or whatever, even if they are, hey, we miss you, right? Encourage one another and stay united. We are called to lift each other up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And I know a lot of times we run to Hebrews 10, 25, talking about not forsaking the assembly. But I think what's so encouraging is looking at verse number 24, which is right before it. It says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works or good deeds, not giving up meeting together at the manner of some is, but encouraging one another. So the importance of coming to our worship service to God is not, as I shared in our Bible class, so you could check the box. So you know I was there for 3 out of 4 Sundays. That's 75%. I'm doing pretty good. I passed the class. No, it's not for that. The scriptures say that we come together so that we can spur one another, encourage one another to love and the good works. And then it says, don't forsake the assembly as a manner of some people is, but encouraging one another. Now, I'm going to share this. There have been some times that you come to church. I have personally come to church on a Sunday morning, and I'm okay, but I'm not necessarily whatever. But I see Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so, and they give me a hug or shake my hand. Johnny, it's great to see you. Oh, I kind of feel lifted up. I'm encouraged. And guess what? If someone can encourage me, you can encourage someone else. But how can you encourage them if you're not here to do it? I know y'all know this. You go to work and your coworker's not there. It's like, wait, Well, co-worker's not there. Now I got to do their work too. Oh, my, now you're upset. They come into work the next day. Man, were you sick? No, man, I had to do something. Now you want to throw your computer at them, right? Right? And it's like, wait, you weren't there to do your part. And now I don't feel encouraged and then whatever. Well, I want to share this, brothers and sisters. When you're not here, it hurts the fold. You're missing out on somebody I can encourage or be encouraged by. I'm not here to say, hey, you have to do it from a compliance standpoint, but do it because you love one another. Do it because you want to encourage one another. Do it because God is good. God is good. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, again, looking at the subheading of encourage one another and stay united. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. One can help the other up. You guys, so yesterday we had a family gathering with Denisha's family, and her dad needed a hand up. He was struggling trying to get out the chair, and he said, hey Johnny, can you give me a hand? He talks like that. Johnny, you give me a hand? So I reached and I gave him a hand to help him get up. Oh, man, thanks, man. My knees, you know, you get older, your knees get stiff. He said, my knees were stiff. I needed some help. If I wouldn't have been there, who was going to try to help him get up, right? We didn't want him to fall either, right? So our encouragement is to be there. It says two are better than one. Your encouragement and unity are a testimony to the world and a source of strength for each other. We talked about this in our Bible study, but put God first in all things. Put God first in all things. Jesus taught, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given or added to you. And for those that weren't part of our Bible study, he was talking about those things that we worry about. What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? What am I going to eat? He says, don't worry about those things. If you seek God first, put him first in your life intentionally, right? God's going to take care of everything else. And then Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, on whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, brothers and sisters, put God first. Put God first. And I want to actually say this too. This may not be a popular thing to say, but even when you get paid, put God first. When you wake up in the morning, put God first. Say your prayer. Thank you, God, for waking me up. It wasn't the iPhone that woke me up. It wasn't this Android that woke me up. It was you that woke me up, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare to close, let's let God's priorities be your priorities. And he will take care of the rest. Let God's priorities be your priorities. I had opportunity, Denisha and I had opportunity to lead a Bible study for our young people a few weeks ago. And I shared this thought. I said, do you know that God does not want to be a part of your life? They looked and said, he doesn't want to be a part of my life. He does not want to be a part of your life. God wants to be the center of your life. There's a difference. If something's the center, it's the nucleus. And then everything branches off from there, right? I wasn't too good in science, but I know that. I can spell nucleus at least, right? But he wants to be the center. And then everything grows from there. But if you just give him a part, knowing us, we'll give him one little small sliver at the end of our day when we're tired. Oh, I didn't do anything for God. Let me pray to God as you're laying in bed. Next thing you know, you done fell asleep. Right? Didn't even finish your prayer. You wake up, did I finish my prayer? I don't know. How do you know that, Johnny? Because I've tried it before myself. Right? God doesn't want to be a part. He wants to be the center. Make him first in your life. So I'm going to close with this small story. There was a small group of travelers on a long journey. Each one carried a small torch. And together, Their light was strong enough to light the entire path ahead. Alone, their light was small, but united, they illuminated the way for all. And just like this group, when we encourage one another and stay united in faith, we become a powerful light in the world. So no matter our size here, you are mighty in God. You must have faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Then Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 22 says this, the least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and it's time I will do this swiftly. Says here, the least of you, the smallest of you, will become a thousand. You'll be great. You'll be mighty in the Lord. You may feel small, unimportant, but God promises to multiply you for his glory. Keep trusting in him. Keep shining. Keep spreading his word. Keep encouraging one another and keep putting God first. Your faithfulness is making a difference more than what you can see. You guys remember when you were growing up? It's like you always felt you were the same height until you saw that distant relative that hasn't seen you in a year. Oh my gosh, you're getting so tall. I'd be like, I am? Oh, I didn't know, right? You can't see it, but they can. Sometimes the things that you do, and I want to encourage those who work behind the scenes of the church. You may not be the elders and, you know, in front the minister, the song leader, but you are still powerful and mighty, and you're still needed in the Lord. So we've been talking about small but mighty. And I want to talk to us about something that's small but mighty in our life. Prayer. Prayer. One of the most powerful prayers that we can read about in God's word was two words, right? Right? And I want to share this with us as well, that your prayer does not have to be everlasting to be eternal. Doesn't need to go on and on and on. I've heard some men pray so greatly, they're using words I need a dictionary for, and it sounds so good and so eloquent. But the most powerful ones are, God, help me. Lord God, I need your help. Sometimes we can't even utter. You ever been that hurt, that challenged before where it's like you can't even fully get it out? I know I have. But God knows, God hears. We've been talking about small but mighty. I want to encourage us to pray. Have the mindset to pray about anything, everything. Things are going great, pray. Things are okay, pray. Things are bad, pray. Pray. And if there are any that are here this morning that are not part of God's family, I want to say right now you may feel small, but let me tell you how you can become mighty. You must hear God's word and then believe what it is that you've heard. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to say this, that confession just does not mean that one time. Confession is as you live every day of your life. And then go down into the watery grave of baptism, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. And then the scriptures say, rise and walk in the newness of life. We've been talking about small but mighty, but Tehachapi, be encouraged because you're mighty in God's sight. Let's sing our invitational hymn.